With great difficulty. No, not really. I've been researching Eurovision for about 3 or 4 years now. And what I started to look at was specifically looking at how Australia has engaged with Eurovision. So I've been talking to a lot of fans, looking at the contest itself. So, you've got to build the portfolio before you can say, hey, by the way, I also want to go over there. And part of what I'm doing while I'm here is looking at how the event itself runs on the ground, how it acts as a performance, and how we experience it as fans, and how we experience the host city and the host culture. So what do we do as Eurovision tourists when we come to this place? So that's why I'm here, and that's how I've justified it. And they bought it. Okay.
I mean, I guess it's interesting that because realistically, the song contest has been going on for at least 6 decades now, and it's spawned into this big cultural event where it's more than just people coming together. And from an outsider's perspective, they may think it's a bit silly seeing people come in costumes and various gimmicks on stage and those type of things. But when you actually look at it in a deeper layer, you can see that there's a lot of songs that go there with a lot of meaning and a lot of heartfelt, messages behind them as well. So it's more than just a bit of fun. It's actually a serious sort of event and cultural event in particular.
It is absolutely. I think even though I do make a few jokes about it, as we all do, I think one of the gravest errors that we can make is not taking this contest seriously. A lot of these artists and these countries put a lot of time, effort, and money into creating their performances, creating their acts. And it means a lot to these countries because everything else can be falling apart around them. They can have really poor economies. Their political situation can be really, really shaky. So to be able to send an act to Eurovision can mean so much to that home crowd because they're sort of saying, hey, look, everything is okay. We're out there, we're performing, we're representing you, and we're doing you proud. And the lyrics of songs can play into that as well, where it can just be a balm on things that could be difficult for any given nation, any given culture. So it is really wonderful to see all the countries come together like that, celebrate.
One of the research things that you've done in the past is you were looking at the inclusion of Australia into Eurovision, because obviously when we say Eurovision, we're thinking of Europe, and then suddenly we're in it. So it's been quite interesting to see Australia's inclusion in this over the past few years.
Yes, the thing to remember with this as well is that participation in Eurovision is actually determined by membership in the European Broadcasting Union, which does have a slight geographical element to it, but also doesn't. So you've got your main members who can automatically qualify for Eurovision provided they pay their fees. And then we have associate members. And Australia has been an associate member of the EBU since 1950. So, it's not like we're Johnny come latelys or anything like that in terms of our membership. So, and Australia actually did attempt to join Eurovision back in the 1970s, and that was rejected.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
I didn't even know that. Wow, there we
Yeah,
go.
it's a little known fact. But then SBS did argue really, really strongly in the past few years, obviously, well, before 2014, when Jess Malboy first did her guest appearance at Copenhagen. They did mount a really, really strong case saying, hey, look, we love it, and we'd really love to be part of it. Even though we don't make sense geographically, we tick all these other boxes. Can we please come and play? And fortunately, they said yes.
Realistically, if we look back in the history of Eurovision, it's not exactly the first time that Australians have been involved in the contest. Obviously, back in the 1970s, we had Olivia Newton-John in there. We've also seen there was actually a Brisbane artist, Gina G, who represented the United Kingdom in the 1990s as well. So it's not, I guess, too far-fetched that Australia's had, quite an interest in getting involved in the contest in a more general sense.
Not at all. There have been so many Australian artists being involved with Eurovision. There have always been songwriters, performers up there on the Eurovision stage. It's the only thing that's different now is that there's a chance of them actually representing Australia rather than representing another country. And I think that means quite a lot to artists.
And I know that we've copped a fair bit of criticism, you know, in terms of Australia's involvement. I'm going to say that I guess you would probably be one of the biggest advocates for Australia's inclusion in Eurovision.
I am. I am. I'm aware of how it stretches the logic of geography quite a lot. But I think that there is a really solid case for Australia being here, and that the delegation has always taken the contest incredibly seriously and sent the best quality artists that they can. I do think there are some things that we can tweak around that, but Australia does deserve to have a place here. And I also do think that there is a strategic element to that. They are planning a regional song contest, and it is important because Australia is the main organising nation for that, that they maintain a link between Australia and Eurovision in order to legitimise that new contest. So there's quite a few different elements in there. Whether or not Australia will continue once the regional song contest is launched is another question. But for the time being, I think it's really quite important for both Australia and for the European Broadcasting Union to keep Australia in there.
Well, Dr. Carniel, thank you so much for your time today. Enjoy the rest of your time there in Portugal. It's been fantastic to speak to you. And certainly we look forward to hearing more of your research from this exciting event.
Thank you for having me.